Welcome everyone to the iloverealestate.tv series. Now, what I thought we would talk about today is something that for some of you might seem a little alternate. And for any of you guys that have known me for any length of time, you understand that I probably am a little alternate in things. I mean, I talk about, you know, things like energy and focus and all of these neuropeptides and all sorts of things. But today, what I particularly want to concentrate on is the power of intention. Now, we have a mechanism anatomically in our makeup that allows us to filter what's important and what's not important to us. And this system, which is made up of a number of different components, and it sits physically in the middle of our brain, effectively, or kind of to the bottom of it, it's called your reticular activating system, your RAS system. You know, it's the sort of thing that allows someone to, hear the cry of a baby, but doesn't hear the trains that go past every 20 minutes outside, or focuses on what's important to them. But in order to do that, it needs to be told what's important. Now, there's certain things that are pre-programmed into us, like things like breathing, for instance. That's kind of important to us. There's other things about our general safety and awareness and those sort of things. But if you want to become alert to certain outcomes, if you want to become alert to a desired result, then you physically have to program your reticular activating system for the purpose of this podcast. I'm going to, from here on, call it your RAS system. You have to pre-program that with what's important. So that's the discussion that I want to have today. And to help me out in the discussion, I've actually got one of the instrumental person as which is part of the I Love Real Estate community. He is at probably just as many, if not maybe a few more events than I actually even go to of the I Love Real Estate community. And he's always there to assist and help everybody out. His name is Michael Dempsey. And hello, Michael.
Hello, Demna. This is strange being on this side, but yes, it is interesting.
You're normally on the other side of the camera, aren't you?
I'm usually on the other side of the camera, on the other side of the microphone. That's right, but you've got me in the spotlight this time.
I have. And the reason I've got you particularly on this particular spotlight is because you are someone who I entrust to hold the energy in a room to really make sure that everybody is in tune and getting the absolute best out of all of my seminars. And I publicly thank you for that.
Well, thank you. It is a pleasure, and it is a bit of an honour to be able to do that. But it's very an interesting thing as well. And
it
I don't think many people fully understand it or get it. But it certainly it has an influence, and it's something that I find we all have an ability to do.
You know, remote influence and pre-intending and things like that are just so important. And I want to relate it particularly right now to real estate and deals and negotiations and influencing another person to take a certain action. Now, what I mean by that is not manipulation by any means, but more, you know, to get a tradesman to turn up on time, to have a real estate agent to be working on finding a deal for you, to get a buyer or a seller to see things your way. All of those sort of things are where your reticular activating system starts to have a major, major impact. Now, within the confines of I Love Real Estate and the staff and, you know, the behind the scenes guys, mm-hmm. You're known as the man who can find anything.
That is right, yes. I have a bit of a knack, and I have a bit of an ability to do so, a skill, whatever you might call it, but it has come up a couple of times, actually a number of times, and it's a little bit quirky, it's a little bit weird, and it's a little bit Twilight Zone-ish in the fact that I don't really know fully how it works, but what I do know is that it does work, and I've proven it numerous times, and it's surprising.
You've found things like wedding rings and lost wedding rings in 2 foot of mud in a patch of, like, you know, 50 metres long by 20 metres wide. You just put your hand in the exact spot that that wedding ring actually was, a foot down in the mud.
Yeah, that was during a Tough Mudder. And a Tough Mudder has a section called the Mile of Mud. And so you have these high bits of mud, and then you have a section which is filled with water, about a metre deep. And we had a team of about 13 people. Actually, Mark, he came over the top, Mark Rolton, and he came in, and I didn't even know what had happened, but I turned around and someone said, you know, he's lost his wedding ring. And I was like, and I looked at his face, and you could immediately see the...
He's distraught.
Totally, totally. And I kind of just looked and I went, oh, okay, well, I'll find it.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me later, he said, the way you looked at me and just said, oh, so matter-of-factly, I'll go and find it. He said he didn't really know how to take that because it was just so matter-of-fact, I'll find it. So what I did was I just, I put my intention on the fact that, like, my thinking is that you don't actually lose things. I think that you kind of misplace them. And that thing really wants to connect back with you. So you just, all I am is just like a kind of like a, trying to tune in.
Mm-hmm.
To the item, to the person. If I do that effectively, then the item, whatever it might be, if, as long as you've got an attachment to it and the person, it's very easy to reconnect. And I find it actually quite easy, you know. Anyway, it's kind of strange. So I left down in the mud, you know, and it was like I had to, my hands as at the base of the mud, and my chin was just holding above the water. So anyway, I'm feeling around and I just found a couple little holes, and I went, oh, hang on, what about here? And I put my finger in, and there was a hole in the mud from when fingers go in.
Mm-hmm.
And within that hole in the mud, I pushed my finger around and turned it and pulled the clay out, and around the clay was a ring.
Unbelievable.
It took about less than 2 minutes. And I brought it up and I kind of went, hey, Mark, is this what you're looking for? And he looked at me and his jaw dropped and he didn't know what to say. And he was like so surprised. It was quite a surprise. But, you know, I mean, and we tied it. I tied it onto a, like a, you know, shorts. You got to, you know, because there's no way we're going to put it back onto his finger at all, you know.
Isn't that amazing?
Off. Yeah.
And you found other things too. I mean, you know, around the office, all sorts of things, valuables, non-valuables, all sorts of stuff. So that what we're talking about there is really your reticular activating system clicking into gear to focus on a desired outcome. So what I want to do now is talk about using that process, which we all have, as you said, we all have, we can all do this, we can all, you know, pre-program our reticular activating system for a desired outcome to real estate, obviously, that's what I want to talk about now. You know, setting the intention is so important. Now, if you are finding that, you know, you're having blockages and whatever, I'd really like you to analyse what your system for finding a deal is. Because that's one of the things that I get a lot from students. Oh, I've looked here and I've done this. And I know I've spent 3 months trying to find a deal and I can't find a deal. So let's talk about the alternate side of finding a deal. Not the practicality of, you know, you do this, you do your search engines and then you do your grid variance and you do, you know, not that stuff. If you're doing all of that, then let's work on the other stuff, which might be things like your self-sabotage as to why you're stopping yourself from doing things. So let's talk about those things. One of the ways that you can program your RAS system is actually writing a list and writing down a specific desired outcome. You agree with that?
Absolutely, of course I agree. I know what's coming.
So the power in the pen, or the power in spending the energy and the time actually putting something on paper, or in fact a tree, which we'll get to in a minute as well.
Of course.
Is so deliberate that it engages not only the conscious side of setting an intention, but also the subconscious and the emotional. And of course, as soon as you start talking emotions, then we start talking chemical reactions within our body and how those amino acids and the neuropeptides start to circulate through your body and get to all of your cells and how they have receptors. And that then signals that desired outcome as well. So there's a lot more science to it than it's not just, you know, mumbo jumbo. There is a lot of science behind as to why these things happen this way. But you have a very interesting story, which I want to talk about, which is great for everyone to hear. And that is about how you pre-intended your now wife.
That's correct, yes. Pre-intended my wife.
Your wife.
That sounds very unusual, but it is actually pretty spot on.
So what did you do? You know, we were talking about lists before and actually really writing down. You were going through a period in your life where you were having a lot of unsuccessful dates, we'll say, when you were single.
Well, some of them didn't even get that far. But very simply,
I would hate to be dating right now. That would just be the pits.
But a lot of strange things were occurring to me because I was single at the time and I was like, I got to a point where I was like, actually, I want a relationship. I actually want someone who I want to be
a partner in your life.
Friends. Yeah, I want to be friends with. And so I was running into these and I'd met a very nice girl and something would happen and she'd then introduce me to her girlfriend and she'd be a lesbian or another partner or something like that. Everything that you could think of that was going wrong and it kind of suddenly dawned on me that it wasn't anyone else. It was me.
Yep.
I was creating it. For whatever reason, I was drawing those things towards me. And I had to do some kind of self-assessment. So I just wrote down all the things that I didn't want.
Ooh.
And I was like, no, because it was like, this was what was occurring. This was all occurring. So I wrote all down. And then I screw it up in a ball. And I was just like, that's it. I want to get rid of all of those things that I no longer want.
Right.
So then I could actually allow the things I want into my life.
Okay.
So I did that first, and then I got to a point where I was like, okay. And I was so happy with getting clear with that. And suddenly it was like, actually, now it's really easy for me to decide on what I do want in a partner.
So let's talk about some of the things that you wrote down, because you were so specific. Like, This is really taking specifics to the next level, guys. And, you know, you always say, be careful what you wish for and, you know, be clear about what you want and things like that. But I'll tell you now, what you're going to hear from Michael is taking specifics to a whole new level. Tell me some of the things on your list.
Well, when you talk about specifics, I kind of understand that if you want anything, you have to be specific.
Yes.
You cannot be general because...
No.
And the reason why I was so specific is because I wanted to know. When I met someone, I wanted to know. And the really simple way to find out was to have someone's name starting with a Z or a Z, however you like to pronounce it. For me, it's like, well, that's it. You know, it's one little tick on my list.
So when you meet somebody, instead of stuffing around, you go, okay, what's your name? Oh, right. Yeah, well, at least it's Z now. We can start talking. If it's not Z, I'll move on.
Exactly. You know,
time's too short.
It's very practical, isn't it? But of course.
So really, you know, in real estate, then I should be putting out a list there. Saying, okay, I want a subdivision block where I can build whatever on in a street beginning with X.
Well, hey, I tell you, why not?
It'll be a hell of a lot easier to find.
Of course it will. I mean, like, just do a Google search for X and you'll get there. But the interesting thing I found is that if you were to be that specific,
yeah.
Like, this is how I thought, right? There's 7 billion people on the planet.
Yeah.
If I'm general, I'm just going to end up with 7 billion people to sort through.
Right.
You know what I mean? To try and run into and bump into, and I can't do that, you know? So I thought I got to kind of, you know, shrink down, you know, the numbers a little bit. So as soon as I put a Z there, or a Z there, that shrinks the numbers down. I go, oh, well, that's a smaller group to have a look
through.
So
a name had to start with a Z.
I got two Zs.
Yeah, we'll get on to that.
Okay.
A name had to start with Z. What else was on the list?
It had to be vegetarian because I'm vegetarian. It was one of those things I thought, well, that's just easy, practical, kind of nice thing.
So vegetarian, his name starts with a Z. What else?
She had to be from Malaysia. Now, I grew up
really?
And I went, yeah.
Why Malaysia?
Because, look, I went to boarding school and I met a lot of Malaysians. And I just, you know when you suddenly click with a culture?
Okay.
And I was like, you know, I really get along with them really well, and I'd met a lot of Malaysians, and for whatever reason, I just went, no, that's what I want. She said, I just, like, if I I wanted someone who could speak other languages and from another culture, and Malaysia was the one that I chose.
Okay, what else?
I had to be a diver.
A diver?
A diver, you know, like a diver, you know, with a tank.
Scuba diver.
A scuba diver, yeah, that's one. Yeah.
Good Lord, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so scuba diving, vegetarian,
and
Malaysian.
I had to be active and fit, and I did want to get into rock climbing at the time as well.
So, rock climbing?
Yeah, rock climbing, you know, you're climbing.
Okay.
Yeah, active and all that
kind
of stuff. This
list is getting pretty hard to fill.
It's just not so much hard to fill, but it's getting kind of...
More specific.
And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to go from 7 billion down to 1.
Right. Okay.
You know?
All right.
Like,
keep
so
going.
That's my thinking, right?
All right. So
my thinking is,
what's else on your list?
Okay, so I wasn't really too concerned about how old she was, as long as she felt like she was 24.
Did you have a good time when you were 24?
I like the age 24, and I think the age 24 is a good age. I don't know what I mean, like...
Did something happen in your life when you were 24
there's a song, really cool. There's so much more when you're 24 or something like that, anyway. It was just one of those things I thought, no, 24, yeah, there's something.
Everybody listening here saying, what has this got to do with real estate? But that's okay, we're getting there.
Yeah, I've got a real estate story I haven't told you as well.
Ooh,
yeah, yeah.
You're going to tell it here for us?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Fair okay.
Enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep
right.
going.
So there was that. Had to speak another language. Vegetarian.
Scuba diver.
Scuba diving.
Malaysian.
Malaysian.
Felt like they were 24.
Exactly. Didn't have a
rock
TV.
Climbing.
Didn't have a TV.
Into rock climbing and didn't have a TV.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yep.
Hey, look, I'm with you on that one. But we'll keep going. Yeah. Okay. There's some things coming out here, guys, that I haven't heard before. So I don't know where this is going either. Rightio.
And off the top of my head, that
was the list.
That was pretty close to the list. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So what happened?
So I had a friend kind of call me up and say, "Hey, there's this person I want you to meet. Her name is I don't know, but I think she's from India." So here I am over the phone going, tick, cross, because
right.
I kind of think yes, but then I go no.
Right.
I meet up with her, and she says, "No, I'm not. People can't pronounce my name, you know."
Okay.
And they think I'm Indian, but I'm not. I'm actually from Malaysia. So I kind of scrubbed out the cross and
put
two ticks.
Yeah, okay.
And as I got to know her, what happened was I was just ticking off this list.
So the vegetarian.
She was a vegetarian, that's right.
She wasn't just a vegetarian, though, was
well,
she?
She's now written a... it's actually a vegan cookbook.
There you go.
So she's... And she used to... Yeah, anyway, she's... Right into...
And teaching vegetarian cooking.
And, okay. Yeah. Right. And she wasn't just a scuba diver. She's a scuba diving instructor.
Right.
Yes.
The rock climbing?
She actually had her own harness and shoes.
Okay. And was she 24?
This is a really freaky one. There's like sometimes, like I've done a couple of really interesting things, like I've mentioned before, and not too many things freak me out, but this one freaked me out. And it was like, we went out and to dinner, and she asked me how old I was. I told her, and I asked her, and she said, "Oh yeah," she told me her age, but then she said to me, "But the funny thing is, I feel like I'm 24," and I'm like, this was not just accurate. It was like the words that I had written down were coming out of her mouth. And I got this really weird type of, I thought someone was watching me. I thought, you know
really?
What I mean? Well, because like, how does that happen?
Yeah.
You know, how does the words that I've written down of someone that I want,
mm-hmm.
and that exact phrase comes out of her mouth when I'm asking you the question about that question? It was.
And does she speak languages? Because she needed to speak another language.
Yeah, of course she does. She speaks six languages.
Only six.
Yeah, I know.
What six? You know.
Yeah.
Six
well, it was
languages.
five until she realised that my I have Italian cousins, so she learnt another one. She's, you know, people are pretty. Yeah, she's a language person. Yeah. Doesn't have a TV. Vegetarian for
TV.
A same period of time.
Okay.
Yeah, and everything. Oh, and the other one was the Aquarian as well.
So, okay. She picked the star sign, did you?
Absolutely. And the funny thing is that the day that she was born was actually the number on my, what do you call it, on my football jersey as well. And that's how I found out. She said, "Oh, that's my birthday." And I was like, "That's really weird, isn't it?" So there's all these kind
of... How long have you been married now?
We had our 10-year wedding anniversary.
There you go.
A couple of months ago.
There you go. Well, congratulations, guys.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right, so tell me your real estate story and how you pre-programmed your RAS system.
Well, it's interesting because she does this as well.
Right.
Oh, and the thing, I forgot to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
We went out after, we were kind of together, and she looked at me and she said, so how did you know? And I was like, what do you mean, how did I know? She said, well, how did you know about me? And I said, what do you mean, how did I know about you? And she said, well, you know, when did you know? And I knew what she was asking, and I kind of went, okay, look, I'm going to tell you this thing about this kind of thing I did. It was this writing of this list. And she had this grin on her face. So anyway, so what I did was I started to talk, and I told her about the list and all the different things on it. And anyway, her grin got bigger and bigger, and she's got this big grin on her face. And I'm looking at her, I'm just going, what's going on? Why is this so amusing to her? Anyway, I say, so that's my story, and I told her the story I just told you about my list.
And her name does begin with Z, doesn't it? Not just Z, but two
Zs. She has two. Yeah, I got the double. I got the ZZ. I got the ZZ. So I got two. And so anyway, so she's asking me this question. I tell her about the story, and I said, well, I wrote this list. And she said, oh, that's funny. I said, why is that so funny? She said, I wrote a list too. And I'm looking at her going, you did what? And she said, yeah, I wrote a list too. And we tracked it back, and she'd actually written her list while she was in New York.
Yeah.
2 months prior to meeting me for the first time.
Yep.
I'd written my list in Sydney 2 months prior to meeting her. We'd done it at similar times before we met. And then she said to me, so how did you do? And I said, I got everything on the list, you know? And I said, well, how did you do? And she said, I got better than expected. Uncanny, but very interesting. And that was, so it's a bit quirky.
Pre-programming, that's what it's about. All right.
Yep.
So what's your real estate story?
So when we moved to Melbourne,
mm-hmm.
We wanted to move into a certain place in St Kilda.
Right.
And, you know, because we'd spoken about doing this list, and she was into lists clearly because she'd
written a list on you.
I was her list and she is my list.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of how it goes now. And so we had to find a place. And so we wrote out this list of what we wanted in a place. And it included the neighbours, and it included what kind of neighbours we wanted. We wanted a musician. We wanted some other vegetarians that we could get along with, artists and so forth. And we had to have wooden floorboards in certain areas. And then we wanted to have other carpet in the bedrooms and everything. And we needed to have gas cooking and all this kind of stuff. And anyway, wrote it all down on a list.
Right.
And probably about maybe 5 days after we wrote down the list, and we were, I got a phone call from a real estate agent. We'd gone to see a couple of places.
So you'd taken action as well. You weren't just sitting at home on your yogi bear.
It wasn't some random call that called us up. We had gone out. We were looking at different places, and we told them, no, we're looking for a specific place.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I got a phone call from a lady, and she said, look, I think you might be... she used this really funny terminology. I can't remember at the moment. But she said, I haven't put it to the market yet, but I think you guys would really love it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, come over, but the electricity is not on, so bring a torch. Really unusual. But anyway, we went over, we had a look at it. And as we were walking through the place, we realized it's in a small, because it was a small apartment we wanted to move into. It had wooden floorboards in the main areas. It also had carpets in the bedrooms. It had everything. The only thing it didn't have was it had an electric stove rather than a gas stove. It was the only thing. Everything else was there except for that one thing.
Yep.
And we looked at it. We were like, nah, that's it. Well, let's just do it. Let's just move in. So we did. About 6 months later, the electric stove blew up.
You blew it up.
No, it didn't. It happened of its own accord. Seriously, it happened of its own accord. And of
course, it did.
No, it didn't. No, like it happened. It was making these sparking things, and then suddenly it just went, right? And so I noticed outside they'd put in some gas. So they were just putting in gas into the unit. So we put this, I did all the work and I did some research, and I went, you know, it's probably better for you guys to put in gas rather than electricity. And it was accepted. So they installed a gas stove. We eventually got exactly what was on our list, but just there was a bit of a time delay for one item.
You know, I'll tell you another story. I had a lady in Brisbane who was coming to my one-day events, and she desperately wanted to do the program. and she, you know, she'd come along and she'd see my one-day event, and I think she'd been like 5, 6, 7 times, a lot of times. She really wanted to do it, but she just couldn't afford it in her mind. So one of the times, out of the blue, because I don't normally talk about this stuff at an intro event, and I started to talk a little bit about, you know, pre-intending and putting your intentions out there and all that kind of stuff. And anyway, she won it. That day I was giving one away, and she won it. And when she came up on stage, she was in tears. She said, "I have been coming every time you're in Brisbane. I come every single time. I bring my friends. I this, I whatever. I really want to do your program. I've wanted to do it for years and years and years." And I ended up drawing her name. So I was really happy to give it to her. Mm. She'd done the work. She'd done the yard. She'd turned up again and again and again. And I was so excited to actually have her be my student as one of the giveaways that I give away. So
it makes it so much kind of like in the flow, you know, when you've got that, yeah.
Totally. And of course, you know, this is something that I use with real estate. I use it all the time. And even to the point when you're researching for a property, before you sit down to do work, before you turn on the computer, go and have a look at something, or you pick up the phone, I ask you to write a bit of a list, you know. What's your intention out of that thing, out of that phone call, out of that searching that you're going to be doing over the next, you know, hour or two to find whatever kind of deal? I haven't quite gone as far as putting in a street name yet, with a letter that might start with, but maybe I should try that.
I think you should. Yeah, let me know how you go.
I'm pretty powerful with this kind of stuff.
Oh, so, I know you are. Don't worry about that. I want to hear what happens, you know. Just don't choose Smith or something, you know.
Might be a little too common.
High Street. Yeah, there's heaps of high streets in Melbourne. I don't know.
I got hopelessly lost on High Street in America one day. I'll never be a High Street.
So don't choose High Street.
High's got bad karma around it, no. Okay. So you obviously talk to a lot of people, you know, students. You mm-hmm. see students all the time. What advice would you give them about maintaining focus, being a deliberate intender or a deliberate focuser on what they want?
Well, the interesting thing I found is that, and you've asked me to tell my story, you know, at some of the events. And the funny thing is that I would say probably between about maybe 2-3% mm-hmm. of the people in the room have had a similar story to mine.
Yeah.
Because they come up and tell me. And it's the interesting thing is that we don't talk about this stuff enough.
No, we don't.
And you've got to get around people who talk about it and people who accept it. And it's actually okay to talk mm-hmm. about it and don't kind of go, oh, that's ridiculous, it's just coincidence and those types of ideas. So the first thing I think is you've got to have that connection with somebody, something, some group, whatever it is, some person that makes it okay.
Or some deal.
Some deal, yeah. Mm. But makes it okay for you to go down that path and to even think along those lines. Because as soon as you think along those lines, then it becomes more real to you.
Yeah.
And it makes it a whole lot easier. So, and it's far more common than what you think.
It's something I say, you know, quite often at some of the higher level training and things that I do, that unless you can see yourself doing, having, achieving whatever it is, it will never happen for you.
Mm.
It'll happen for somebody else, but it won't happen for you, because you've got to be able to see that's a reality for you. And there's a lot of science that goes behind this, even to the point of, you know, chemical reactions that happen in your body that align with that, both chemically and energetically, to that desired outcome, and can be finding a partner or you know, making $1 million. I did a podcast recently with one of my students who we were talking about this, and you know, in one particular year he made $1 million, and that was, you know, going back to when he first started, he could never see that was a reality for him. But by being part of the community and the education and, you know, the constant personal growth that comes with that, not just the educational growth, but the personal growth that comes with it, you know, the enormity of that really starts to change you anatomically, you know, at a cellular level, at a brain function level, with your neuropathways starting to form and all sorts of things happen that you may or may not even be aware of. But that's part of the keys to success, which is why I believe the I Love Real Estate community is so successful. And it is, you know, probably the largest real estate community in Australia.
Absolutely.
Maybe, but it's certainly in Australia.
It's phenomenal. No, I've got to say it is phenomenal. And it's just the energy around events is it's beautiful. It's just a beautiful kind of, and you can see it and you can feel it. And because the one thing we haven't mentioned is because I take photographs as well.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is when people, a lot of students come along, and especially at the introductory events, it can be a little bit kind of daunting and a bit nerve-wracking to have your photo taken. And what I found is that once you're with the community, and what I've, the students now, they kind of go, Michael, come over here. I've got a group of people. Let's take a photo. Yeah. And suddenly it becomes more of a, it's almost like a family.
Yeah, it is.
It has that same kind of family feel because everyone's here for the same reason. The negativity has been pushed to the side. And I know that it's like we're all dealing with our own negativity and that's actually okay. But you don't want to kind of like...
You're not taking on anybody else's burdens.
You're not. And you're not adding it to the group. It's the positivity that's being added to the group. So the group is held together by this positive idea that they want to do better. They want to achieve more. And that really is a powerful thing that suddenly has got a life of its own now.
It is so much bigger than any of the one individual components.
Yeah. Mm. And I know that you're the one that kind of like have been the initial one to bring it all together, you know, and you should be acknowledged for that as well. Because that, I mean, like we're all coming together for that particular one reason. And you've started this group and this kind of movement now.
Mm. You've got to have the right heart. And I think that's something that does come from, you know, from the top down, is that if you go into things with the right heart, with the right intention, then that's what flows and that's what becomes a reality. And that is such a beautiful thing in the I Love Real Estate community, that it is about, you know, success and achieving, but it's not to the detriment of someone else. And that's one of the misconceptions that I think a lot of people have about being successful and having money and being wealthy, is that to be wealthy, somebody else has got to miss out. Mm. And that's not the case. You know, it truly is a win-win scenario. You can do so much more. You can help so many more people if you've got more money. And it's one of the my personal ambitions is to change the attitude, particularly of Australians, around tall poppy syndromes and the lack attitude around money. Because, you know, if we can change that one thing, this country will be a so much better place.
Absolutely. Mm. Totally. Well, and look, you're creating that. Because within this group...
I hope so.
Within this group... No, it's occurring. It's occurring. And it is having ripple effects.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it is. It definitely is. I know that.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
When you were talking about the intending and positive intending, the one thing that I wanted to add for if you're looking at trying to change as well is to... And this is the viewpoint that I really take on, is that when I wrote my list to find my wife... I had the viewpoint and I kind of like, I was looking at the thing that she wanted to find me too.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was telling about the ring.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like the ring, the lost item wants to be found.
Mm-hmm. So the deal.
Wants to be, yeah. So whatever it is you're thinking about, dreaming about, whatever,
mm-hmm.
you want to be reconnected or you want to be connected. You want to be joined and you want to meet. For the first time, whatever it is, it's kind of like it's coming from both sides.
Okay.
To view it, not just, oh, I want that and I want that to come to me.
Mm-hmm.
The way I think about it is that I think whatever it is that you're trying to achieve, whether it be finding a ring, whether it be finding a wife, whether it be finding a deal, whatever
or
it is.
Or a USB stick.
Yes, okay.
I lost one of them recently.
And I'm now looking. And that, but realistically, that USB stick wants to be found.
Yeah.
Mm. It doesn't want to be lost. Do you know what I mean? Because you've put your energy into it. Mm-hmm. It's a part of you.
Mm.
It's kind of lonely out there, wherever it is.
Mm. Okay.
And it wants to come back to you just as much as you want it back. So that's how I see things if you kind of, you know, that's how I think, you know what I mean?
Okay.
When I kind of look at those kind of things.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Talking about something that's a little different from what I normally speak about, but it's so much part of everything that I do.
It's a pleasure, and it's a little bit different to what I usually talk about as well. But very happy to. Thank you.
Well, thank you, guys. And I hope you enjoyed our little chat. And as I say, I'll be back again to talk to you very, very soon on a completely different topic. Talk to you soon, guys.